we are again, Chuck. It's the strange land on Mutiny Radio, and these are our strange dispatches.
Strange indeed. Every day gets stranger and stranger.
I mean, it's only however many months we are into this thing, wherever we are in the world, and now we have just filled ourselves over brimming with tragic and terrible news. Normally, that would take an entire year. At least there haven't been as many celebrity deaths, I guess, as last year.
I started to say it's like a soap opera, but no, soap operas go on and on they slow down time. This is...
Yeah, this has like one of those season-ending climaxes every week.
Yeah. Reality TV on steroids. And the shock and awe of it.
Well, it's what I think it's been written before that it's a shock doctrine, like it's intentional.
Oh, yeah, that's the name of a book, a very famous book among the lefties.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, this is where we are. Where I mean, this is just one of the. We're gonna get into the big story, but just real quick because we need to mention it. It's important. Trump's budget proposal also would cut all federal funding for Planned Parenthood. So, he's a fucker. Fuck him. You know, he wants to control pussy so much he wants to grope it. This is a guy who hates women. He says you have to treat them like shit. Well, here he is, treating them like shit. That's what he does. He's told us what he does.
Yeah.
Donald Trump, you gotta treat them like shit. That's what he said. You gotta treat women like shit. Donald Trump, proposing cutting all federal funding for Planned Parenthood.
Yeah. For what? For what?
So women can get cancer, I assume. That's what he wants. Women won't get their, screenings at the locations that do that. Women won't get any type of aid for health problems with their reproductive system. They won't get any sort of parenting advice at all. You gotta realize, it's Planned Parenthood. There are people who are doing a responsible thing to plan for their parenthood, not just abortions. And it's not even every location. You know, there's right-wingers, hey, they don't do cancer screenings at every location. They don't do abortions at most locations. Like, what are you talking about? They absolutely are going to hurt a lot of women by doing this. They're going to hurt them in physical, you know, ways in their health as well as their people's economic health.
Yeah, Planned Parenthood is, in many of the rural areas, the only resource.
I do want to mention a person on Twitter that I really like. I'm trying to find her name, but she goes by Oh No She Twinton. She's great. Maybe if we start calling it Unborn Baby Earth instead of Mother Earth, Republicans would be more concerned with its well-being.
That's a great tweet.
It's amazing. It's got 20,000 likes, or 40,000 likes, 20,000 retweets. But yeah, we're not just here to say that. There's a woman who jumps in and is like, yeah, well, this is the killing of unborn babies. It's not the same thing, essentially, is what she was getting at. And you know, we want to make the point for everyone on the show, too. Like, if the climate is destroyed, all these other issues that we're very passionate we care about, right?
They kind of go away.
Immigrants dying in detention facilities, LGBT people dying in the fucking, or committing suicide under the terrible conversion therapy, and, you know, all of the black people being shot by police, including children. These are all things that we care about and we report on in the show. But if no planet, there's... we're all dead. We're all fucking dead.
Exactly. Everything else. I mean, I suppose you have some news about the climate decision.
I do. President... sorry. He announced this week that he would... the United States, he's, you know, speaking for us in his capacity, to whatever capacity he has, he's going to withdraw from the Paris Climate Agreement. 200 nations. That was a nice number to say, hey, 200 of the nations on this planet agree that we're...
There are only two others that haven't signed it.
And you want to know actually why? Yes, you're right. It's Nicaragua and Syria. And you know the reasons that were given? Because the reason Trump is giving is, oh, you know, obviously climate change is a hoax. He still, his staff still won't confirm if he believes in climate science. Because they won't. He can't. He doesn't. That's the reason. He said at one point, like, well, you know, if we get a better deal, then I'll sign it. And if not, well, then fine. Those are his words. Then fine, whatever. If we don't get it, it's fine. The end of the world is fine. That's fine. You want the other Nicaragua's and Syria's reason for not signing?
The accords weren't stringent enough.
For Nicaragua. For Syria, they have other concerns right now.
Well, that's true.
That was pretty much their reason. But yeah, absolutely. Nicaragua, the only other one of the other countries, said not that it was a hoax created by the Chinese, which is what Donald Trump said, but they declined to sign, saying it did not go far enough. In 2015, their lead envoy to the Paris negotiations said, "We're not going to submit because voluntary responsibility is a path to failure. We don't want to be an accomplice to taking the world to 3 to 4 degrees and the death and destruction that represents." So because it's entirely voluntary,
yeah,
which is also why it's stupid to withdraw from it. It's entirely symbolic to appease the people and because his own ego and because he hates science, and it's something that he can just, you know, I'm going to get liberals with this. Are you kidding me? We're not doing this because it wins points for a political party. This is about the survival of everyone going forward, future generations. Being able to farm, being able to live on a coastline. Oh my God. Having potable water.
Well, Trump will always have bottled Trump water to drink. His gated community will always be, shall have, well, his Trump
Tower. Well, unless the entire system collapsed due to the instability of drought and war, water wars, oil wars, peak oil, peak water, peak clean water anyway.
Well, they never think the empire is going to fall.
Yeah, well, that's one of the reasons it does, right? We are actually, per capita, the United States, the 7th biggest emitter of these greenhouse gases. This is after big oil and coal burning countries like Qatar and Australia. But cumulatively speaking, the U.S. is the country that pumps the most greenhouse gases into the atmosphere over the past few decades. So we have a responsibility. The other one with us would be China. China now is the world leader in combating climate change. Think
yes.
about that.
Right, yeah. Their target reductions in coal is very admirable. They're also the world leader in solar technology. They are making a concerted effort to be the leader in renewable energy. Something that had Carter's plan gone into effect and Reagan had not taken out the solar panels out of the White House, we would be the leader. We would
also just purely because it would cost money to take them down too. If you're trying to argue that it's just too costly,
but by like, now,
yeah, no, it's just a symbolic move. I'm going to hurt the other side.
37 years later. I think of where we would be today.
Yeah.
Now Carter at the time, I don't think was thinking global warming. He was thinking our dependence on foreign oil was why he wanted to go renewable. But it was the right track, and we would have had a head start.
Yeah.
And the planet would have been saved.
Well, and this is one of the areas where Barack Obama. You know, people would say he didn't do enough, and maybe that's true even here, but he's actually responded to the many very heroic and hardworking, you know, tenacious activists and advocates for this. And the scientists, 97% of the climate scientists agree. You know, it's like if 3 out of 4 doctors agree, or dentists, you're going to buy a certain fucking dental floss brand, but if 97% of climate scientists agree that man-made global warming is the problem, what? Huh? I don't know. That other couple few percent. Our executive leadership now has expressed more negative sentiment and doubt and skepticism over that those scientists and over climate science itself, the actual numbers and data. This puts us behind countries like China who want to combat and do something, or at least, you know, they're walking the walk at the very, or they're talking the talk at the very least. We'll see if they walk the walk. This puts us behind North Korea in some regard, who has at least said, you know, we don't want giant floods and terrible tsunamis and things hitting us.
Yeah, no, they have a lot of coastal area there too.
So does the United States. Hey, we don't like, you know what? Fuck those coastal elites. I've seen a range of opinion from Republicans on this, where some of them even admit and acknowledge that it exists, but they're like, yeah, but it's only going to hurt. It's going to hurt Los Angeles and Miami and New York and Boston. It's not going to hurt us. It's like, what are you talking about? Like, there's the whole Gulf area. I don't know who these people are. It's such a terrible fucking mindset. But most of the conservatives that are behind this are still just in denial. Or they'll say things. There was one politician who said recently, a Republican, yeah, it's probably man-made. Yeah, that's probably the case. But you know what? God will save us. God will take care of it. I'm a Christian. I believe God will take care of it. And people in the audience are like, woo! I mean, people applauded Trump at his fucking announcement, too. Like a bunch of idiots. Yeah. But Cenk Uygur made the great point. The story of the guy that's drowning and he refuses the boat and the plane or the helicopter and all these things that were coming to save him because he said, God's going to save me. And then those were the things God was sending to save him with, right? That's exactly what this is. We have the data. We have the capabilities. We have the money. Why don't we do something with it? We could make $1 million man. We could save the environment. Let's do it. This isn't the only thing the White House has done, by the way. If this were isolated, and even if we want to somewhat of the Trump apologists, Trump-pologists out there, that want to say, like, well, he said if a better deal comes along that he'll do the better deal. Like, you know, and if it doesn't, that's fine. But, like, at least he's making an effort. It's like, actually, no, he's trying to kill this thing. He thinks, despite his own economic advisors, that coal jobs are going to come back when coal jobs are not going to come back.
No, never.
Natural gas and the terrible practice of fracking are killing coal jobs. The demands of the free market are killing coal.
Damn it, I can't remember who did the research on this, but it was reported in one of the major news sources that there are Arby's food franchises right. employ more people than the coal industry today.
Jesus Christ. And nobody goes to Arby's. Oh, my God. Seriously, it's the free market, stupid. Not you, the saying. Yeah. I mean, that's what it is. And those jobs are not coming back. I don't know. He's lying. He's lying to those people to tell them he's a populist, even though he's not. Or he's just that stupid himself that he thinks that that's true. But that's absolutely not the case. And
the workers in the coal industry believe him.
The
owners of the mines don't.
Right, right.
But the miners themselves do, and I've been hearing quotes.
Well, this is the other thing that's
say, "Oh yeah, well, this will bring back jobs."
Devastating about this is there are jobs to be had as technicians for solar and wind. It's one. It's in the top most growing set of jobs in the country because that's where the dollars are going, and that's they're hiring like crazy in the areas where they're doing that.
But it generally requires more of an education than coal miner.
Not necessarily, but well, as a coal miner, okay, but in some of these other gas and oil jobs that people are saying are so important as American tradition, good old, like, those jobs exist in these new technologies as well. Not the specific same job, but the same competencies, level of education. They just have to learn new things and have that job. I mean, I don't understand, you know, Arby's doesn't pay as much, but I never think of a coal job as being like something that's, man, I really got to keep this one. It's good for my health. The family's just, you know, I get good hours, right? They let us keep a pet down there. It's a real cute little canary. I love that. I love it. But this isn't in isolation. There's a lot of things that Trump has done to shoot this down, to shoot down any type of climate science. I mean, we know they were removing things from the websites even right away. And then hiring Scott Pruitt, right? It was another example that they didn't care. They were just going to destroy the environment and destroy any kind of regulations. His budget that we mentioned also takes away support for federally funded climate research. That's something he's already proposed to do. He says, oh, we spend too much money on climate change. White House budget director said, we want to do some climate science, but we're not going to do some of the crazy stuff the previous administration did.
Oh, what kind of climate science are you going to do?
Yeah, well, they hired Scott Pruitt as the EPA administrator. This guy has said about carbon dioxide, I would not agree that it's a primary contributor to global warming that we can see. What? Are you fucking... Of course it is. That's science. That's known. He's got deep ties to the fossil fuel industry. He's not the only one. Obviously, Rex Tillerson as well in that administration. But the EPA budget under these people is going to be cut by a third. That's even some Republicans are calling that draconian. Climate and clean energy programs are getting cut to pieces. Data collection is going down. And there are actually people in the industry, like a lot of times when government-funded research or there's like a shared government and kind of non-profit science endeavor that's like shared, a lot of those climate scientists are backing up their data at their own expense because it's being deleted. And, we're just not going to have any of the clean energy programs that we were having that were starting under Obama. They're going to drill under more federal land and waters.
Specifically,
and approve more pipelines.
Also, when you buy an appliance now, there's a sticker on it that tells you the energy savings that you'll get because of a better insulation in your refrigerator, et cetera. All the studies for that are defunded.
Yeah.
And the manufacturers of appliances are complaining. They want those. It's a selling point, and it's good for their business.
Oh, yeah, no, I mean, that's the part of the new market.
Right.
And there's a demand for it. I mean, people have been using the energy saver bulbs for years, and it cuts down not just on waste, hurting the environment, but it also cuts down on their bill. And they see that.
Yep.
So there's really diminishing argument at all to not do this stuff.
But cutting down on their bill means the utilities get less money.
But it's also less waste for the utility to upgrade to the new systems. And a lot of times they're putting in those smart meters, which we can have problems with those for other reasons. But they are upgrading systems in a lot of cities and a lot of areas to do this. And cities, and in fact in California as a state, they've said that a lot of the blue states are going to continue to uphold the promises of the Paris Accord anyway. At a time when European leadership, Angela Merkel and others and other leaders in Europe are saying we can no longer count on the United States, meaning Trump, for anything. That's it.
Yeah, the political situation in Europe is interesting. England is separating themselves from the continent.
Right.
We've separated ourselves from the world. And so now the two big people in Europe are France and Germany.
Right.
And to the east, Russia.
That's the world stage. Before we talk about Russia, because we can talk about Russia.
Russia all.
I do want to show you, this is the part of the show where I show Chuck a graph and he describes it to the audio audience that we have.
The broadcast news coverage of climate change.
Over the years.
Okay, the tallest...
Now, these are two... This is a bar graph that's made up of two portions. There's the lighter color and the darker color Sunday shows and nightly news. But overall, these represent the coverage of climate change in minutes for that year.
So in 2009, there was a lot of coverage.
That's the most.
The most.
Sadly.
And then it dropped to about a fifth as much for 2010, 11, a little bit of an increase in 2012. 13 goes up higher, almost reaches the highest levels in 2014.
14, yeah.
These are Obama years. And 2015 and is
good. Down
and then
bit.
2016, it went way down again to about
2010 levels. Yeah, and right. And what's interesting is there's numbers on here. These represent the minutes. So even at their height in 2009 for the year, right? It's 138 minutes of nightly news and 67 minutes of Sunday shows. That's for the year.
So about an hour and a half. During the nightly news.
And over an hour for all the Sunday shows for the entire year. This is how people get their news from television.
That they discuss climate change.
At the low point in 2010, 27 minutes and 21 minutes, respectively.
Out of the whole year. This is the most important issue on the planet.
It is the planet!
It is the planet, and as we said... There's no opportunity to fight for anything else if there's no planet to live on.
But the point of this, I think, and it's really important, 2016, 39 plus 11, right? So 50 minutes for the entire year. 50 minutes they could spare. In between, emails, Donald Trump, campaign, horse race, for the entire year. That's astounding to me, because it's a campaign for the President of the United States, who obviously can make decisions, decent or terrible, relating to climate change. Fucking cover it. Why not go, hey, I guess maybe because the politicians never brought it up themselves. I mean, Bernie did, and Hillary did a little bit, but maybe, you know, and Trump, whenever he said something was terrible. Maybe ask them, I don't know, do they have a chance to ask the candidates anything?
Trump makes a lot more money for CBS than climate change.
That's exactly right. Until there's no civilization to...
But that's what, if they're going to be honest, that's what they would tell you.
Jesus Christ. Anyways, that's the backdrop. And just remember, that's what the media does. So everything, this is the media's fault in a large part. Because this is in 2016. Trump wasn't president yet.
Yeah.
Right? That election comes around.
Even at its highest, out of an entire year.
Right. To get a couple hours, maybe.
Yeah.
A few hours, yeah. In 2011, that's not an election year. That's not even a midterm election year. There's no excuse for this. Anyways, you want to talk about Russia? We should have, like, a special...
Dum-da-da-da!
Or some kind of, like, Russian folk dance, because there's awesome things from Russia. We're not talking about hating on Russia. We're talking about Putin and his specific actions. We're not going to get into everything... his tacit approval of gays being tortured and murder, his fascist campaign to poison and have shot and imprison political dissidents, his opponents, and the press. We're not even going to mention all that stuff. We're just concerning with ourselves with how these tendrils of a foreign government, I wouldn't be happy if this were France, right? Are affecting our leadership. Ongoing. Jared Kushner. You called it. We actually, a lot of people did, but we said on the show that the one that they were probably, the FBI was looking at was Jared Kushner. Jared Kushner, not just his top advisor, but also husband of his favorite daughter. He's now a focus in the FBI Russian investigation, according to sources very close to that. This is from the Washington Post and NBC News. Investigators believe Kushner has significant information relevant to their inquiry. That does not mean they suspect him of a crime or intend to charge him. So we should clarify. We don't know that any charges are forthcoming or anything. But he had been having meetings with Russian Ambassador Sergei Kislyak and the head of the Russian bank, and investigators probing the meddling in the election also were coming across this information when they were looking at, you know, Trump associates and known, you know, oligarchs and spy masters from Russia that I guess a lot of cases they were already looking at, and then they started picking these things up.
Yeah.
That seems to be the case anyway. And, yeah, talking to a lot of government officials, but also bankers, mobsters in some cases. I'm not saying that was Kushner, but some of these associations are very shady. And, you know, I guess even if they finally admit it, they're not admitting it, they're still denying everything. But even if they finally admit it, they're like, well, you know, of course, or maybe in some, they justify it now in some way. Well, of course they would talk to the ambassadors, you know, their incoming presidency, an incoming administration. So try, yeah, they weren't meeting this often with people from other countries, our allies, right? Oh, so they just really want to be allies with Russia and suddenly defund NATO and take away all Russian sanctions and give the spies their mansions back that they had that had been stripped from them and all of their credibility back and, you know, let the warships just kind of move up and down wherever they want. There's a lot of things that are suddenly the Russians are allowed to do that was not the case before. More oil business for Rex Tillerson's former company. I just did air quotes for former. I mean, these are things that are just very coincidental. They're all just coincidences, I'm sure. But now we know that these people in the Trump campaign and his current administration had been meeting with the same Russians over and over again, very top men, top-level people, repeatedly, and then not disclosing that. And Kushner didn't disclose in some of his official forms for security clearance, which is not good for him.
Yeah, and Jeff Sessions is getting more scrutiny now because it's been revealed that there are more meetings that he didn't admit to.
Specifically, the one we've talked about that in April of last year, the Mayflower Hotel meetings, where Trump gave his big first foreign policy speech. And said how he was taking this softer stance on Russia, that we should work more closely with them. But apparently, not just Sessions, but a lot of his other people were meeting with Kislyak and other Russians at that time, at that hotel. And that was in April. Then there was the Republican convention, where there were more meetings. And then Sessions allegedly met with Kislyak at his own Senate office in September of that year. So, ongoing. So when he said to Al Franken, under oath, right, that he, you know, in the Senate, that he was, I'm not sure. I can't recall the meeting, you know, there any, he would have had to have forgotten. And then his argument after was, well, I just forgot that meeting. So he forgot three meetings? I feel like if I go to a party and I see somebody and meet them, and then I see them at like two other parties,
you wonder if he's,
I know that person a little
if
bit.
If he's smoking something, that might have affected his short-term memory.
Well, he doesn't like marijuana. I mean, He liked the KKK until he found out that they smoked marijuana. That was the deal breaker for him.
Mm, I think he protests too much.
Of which? The KKK or grass?
Both.
Yeah. Well,
he's a pot-smoking KKK member.
We talk about unethical people, not just Kushner and Bannon and Sessions and all these other jokers. We talk about all these people being unethical. It seems that even the White House themselves acknowledge that. There are things that they can get called ethics waivers. Just to clarify, this is not a completely abnormal thing for a president to give ethics waivers. There might be a reason you'd do this if you, for example, ran a media organization prior, like Steve Bannon did, and you needed to have a waiver so there wasn't any sort of conflict that might show up because you're now a public figure in the government yourself, right? They might do that. Now, that in of itself, I don't even know if I take issue with that. I could, depending on what happens. What I would take issue with is, why are you hiring the head of a major, you know, business to come do a job they're not qualified for anyways, and there's obviously going to be conflict of interest. That would be what I would say. I mean, Trump is all conflict of interest with everybody that he's hired. But in theory, like, the thing of itself might not even be an evil thing. Other presidents have used these. At this point in his presidency, Barack Obama had used three of them. Three whole ethics waivers. I'm sure you could find blogs and right-wingers at the time blowing their minds, just like it's so, their tops, just steam coming out like a cartoon. They turn red, and how dare he have three waivers for ethics? He's a dictator. Donald Trump has 14 of them at this time. That doesn't mean 14 people, because they can actually cover multiple people. That means he has 14 of these waivers that he's put out for people like Bannon that waive various ethics rules that the White House has, and has for historical reason. So that's not normal, and people shouldn't think that that's normal. That this early in his presidency, he would have 14 of these already.
Yeah, just 6 months into his presidency.
Yeah. These are people that he wants to have sort of ethical flexibility on certain issues, right? So they just don't have to worry too much about it.
Well, if you remember, one of the first things they attempted to do was just do away with the ethics...
The Republicans in the House, actually, yeah. That didn't go over well. That's the first thing you guys want to do? Okay. Well, it's the first thing Trump did in the White House. You know, I mean, it's actually Bush's former ethics lawyer that's one of the most vocal, you know, opponents or critics of this administration. George W. Bush's ethics lawyer for the White House. And now, you know, I don't know who their ethics lawyer is. I'm sure it's some scumbag, if they even have one. But Trump has not only the White House counsel, he also has outside counsel to cover him in case he faces an indictment. And that's smart, because the White House counsel, their job is not to protect the president. I'm sorry, they're the specific person. Their job is to protect the presidency,
right.
And the White House and, you know, the status of the office. So that's something that's in dire need of protection. That guy, at some point, might not even be on Trump's side. We'll see. Because there's just constant things that this... Everyone is under attack. You know, they have this... Chris Kobach is going to head an investigation into the illegal immigrants and their fraud voting. You know, he wants, in his budget, he's cutting all these things. He wants $4.6 billion to go towards ICE so he can crush more immigrants under his fist. Like a fucking... What's a group of... What's some kind of government that crushes minority groups and ethnicities and... I don't know. But there's a word for that, I feel like. There's a few words for that. But there are actually fake ICE notices going up around Washington, D.C., just put up by somebody, telling them to report illegal aliens. And they have this hotline that you can call, right? This is the Trump administration has an official hotline, and then all of a sudden these notices are going up to be on the lookout. There's all kinds of real suspicious things going on with this. There's I just read the other day, there's a father who got out of surgery at the hospital, and he rushed over so he could see his newborn daughter that was also, I think, in the same hospital. Just got out of surgery, goes over to see his newborn daughter. Says, "Now I'm a father," right? And ICE picks him up and takes him away. That was a bad hombre. You know, they're not sending their best. These rapists, murderers, drug dealers, people at the hospital trying to see their newborn. So yeah, that's, I don't know, we have a problem right now. We have an administration that doesn't value any of the basic values of human decency, let alone certainly not any of the values we have on the left of being caretakers for the environment, being stewards of the earth, and equality for our fellow man, and protecting the little guy. These are all things that have been paid to lip service by the right, but they don't, or by good Christians on the right, or even Reagan, but they don't actually do it.
No.
You gotta walk the walk, guys. And Trump is all talk. Tiny mouth, all talk. How can somebody with such a tiny mouth have such a big mouth? You know? Tiny hands, he's so gross.
It's the tiny brain that controls the big mouth.
Oh, my God. I mean, we don't even need to resort to any sort of hateful rhetoric or violent imagery the way that hack losers do. You shouldn't have to do that. We have the more sane, factual, statistical-based, like, everything. They can't hold the moral authority anymore on the right. They're not...
But they gave that up a long time ago.
But they claim it. They still continue to claim it. There's now the people who are protesting Trump. I get it. If you're on the right, you don't like these protesters. I'm not talking about Antifa. I'm talking about just the people who showed up on Inauguration Day to protest. And many of them were arrested. 200 of them were actually... 212 were arrested. And you know what might happen to them besides a $25,000 fine? They could get a 10-year prison sentence for conspiracy to riot. They're going to throw additional charges in the District of Columbia on these people. They're going to throw long prison term sentences to chill dissent and protest in Washington, D.C. They don't want people to exercise their constitutional rights.
No, it's a big assault on the principle of protest that has been sacred to this country for multiple decades, because real change comes from protests in the street, and it's a protected right. It's our first amendment right, and now they're passing laws saying it's okay to run them over if they're in the street.
In certain areas, yeah.
It's okay to bill them for the extra police and military that you throw at them.
Mm-hmm.
To make them pay for their own...
imprisonment, basically, yeah. No, it's there's an assault on the press, there's an assault on protest, there's an assault on all of the things, the values that, as Americans, that we actually should give a shit about. But what's really chilling to me about this is just sort of the hateful rhetoric and the hypocrisy. I don't find many things as repugnant and bile-inducingly, like, disgusting as the hypocrisy. As hypocrisy in general, but never seen a group as disgusting in their hypocrisy as the current crop of conservatives now. It's gotten to such a point where everything is opposite to them. Everything is projection, and everything is, you know, they claim is they're total hypocrites about. You know, they say they're there for free speech, and that's why, you know, hateful people like Ann Coulter or Milo should be able to go speak on a campus, even though a campus has its own set of rules and it's not government allowing or disallowing the speech. It's still censorship, and we're there for free speech. Yeah, you want these protesters to go to prison for decades because you don't agree with them. If it were protesters of Obama on your side, speaking to them now, no. You would agree with, they should be protected. But because it's against our guy, there are people literally saying, I've never seen a president this opposed before. Really? Really? Because you know that Obama had, you know, before he was even in office, there were Republicans in a smoky room saying they were going to have an agreement to oppose anything he did.
No. There are many on the right, the left, who say this is what we should do with the Trump administration, is not go total resistance. And that cry is getting louder and louder.
Yeah.
And
that's the resistance means.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
I mean, you see the hateful, destructive agenda. And that, you know, and that's the thing that these people thought Obama was going to come take their guns. Never happened. But all this stuff is actually coming to pass. That's the difference. And these hypocrites who say, oh, well, we hate the violence on the right. Oh, I'm sorry. They hate the violence on the left. There's no violence on the right. They hate that violence, right? We hate the violence, too. So if some fucking bullshit, dumb hack of an artist tries to depict the president in a violent way, we don't even want to give them the time of day or even give them any sort of coverage. Fuck that person. Fuck them in their hacky, dumb, unnecessary, counterproductive, unhelpful bullshit. And fuck them for not just being tasteless, but to adding and diminishing and undermining. They're adding this violent terrible thing.
You're undermining their argument to begin with.
Yeah, right. If you have to resort to violence, even violent rhetoric, you're losing in my mind. And we have the better arguments, so fuck them. And I'll say it loud and proud, anybody like that, fuck them. But the right doesn't hear us rebuking them, those people. They just think, oh, well, we never, you know, Ted Nugent could threaten the president's life over and over every weekend, and he gets invited to the White House under Trump. The people love that on the right. They, if it's their side, they love it. There were multiple fake lynchings, you know, of dummies that looked like Obama. Yeah. And other depictions and terrible, hateful, murderous rhetoric. But, whatever. Those are just isolated incidents. That doesn't represent us. But one person on the left, that represents all of you. Hypocrites. Fucking hypocrites. And they want to point at a group like Antifa, which isn't even a group, it's just like sort of a loose thing. And I don't like black bloc tactics. I don't like that kind of stuff. And I've said that before, but they want to point to that and say, that's the left, you're all violent. First of all, Antifa, only violent when, by the way, right-wing fascists, pro-fascists, come around and start a big fight. And then they all, who knows who started it, but then there's a big clash between them. It's takes two to have a clash, right? So, interesting that they only focus on that. But fuck anyone who wants to resort to violence. If they really want to speak out against violence, why don't they speak out against somebody like this? Jeremy Joseph Christian! 35-year-old from Portland. He was in court this week after he stabbed three people. Two of them died. 23-year-old Talisa Namkai Meche and 53-year-old Ricky Best passed away. He's standing trial for those deaths. Christian had been drinking and he was being abusive on a train. He was verbally attacking two young African-American women. One was wearing a headscarf. He assumed they were Muslims and told them to go back to Saudi Arabia. All this bullshit. That they're American. But even if they weren't, like, shut the fuck up, you bigot. But two people stood up to defend them. Actually, multiple people stood up to defend them. These three people got stabbed. Two of them died.
Yeah.
This guy in court, showing no remorse for his acts. He says, you call it terrorism, I call it patriotism. You know, he said, death to the enemies of America. He said, that's what liberalism gets you. That's what liberalism, the other side, the bad guys, blacks and liberals and gays and whatever, that's what liberalism gets you, is stabbed. That's what he said. That's what liberalism gets you. Those are his words. I can die a happy man. That's what he said. Apparently, he was shouting, in the police car, he was saying those things. So he said some things in court, he said that in the police car. On the train, he said, leave this country if you hate our freedom, death to Antifa. So there's no doubt what side this guy views himself on, right?
Yeah.
This fucking piece of shit who stabs people to make his points, not just makes a fake bloody head, or not just writes something mean on the internet, or not just, you know, make superior arguments to sway people's opinion with persuasive speech. He fucking stabbed people, and he's going to go to jail for a long time. But the right can't handle it. The right cannot accept that this guy is clearly on their side. They said, well, he had some support for Bernie Sanders on his social media way back, you know, during the primary or something. I don't know who he voted for. But the guy clearly says, this is what liberalism gets you. Death to Antifa. Harassing a woman for her head. This is not a Bernie Sanders supporter.
No.
But that's what they're saying. That's what people like Michael Cernovich are trying to say. This is a left-wing assassin. This is a left-wing operative. They're actually trying to frame and undermine the right. Are you fucking kidding me? So this is a psyop? Are you fucking kidding me? So George Soros now, I'm sure, is what they're going to say, is paying someone to go to prison for life, right, so that they could have, what, one news cycle where we get ignored on this issue because Trump barely said anything about it. The media barely covers it. And the right wing is just going to dismiss it and say dumb shit like that. Wow, great psyop. It achieved its... What? Sorry.
Those three guys are the true patriots. those two murders can be laid right at the feet of Donald Trump.
His campaign said, "They used to take these protesters out on a stretcher. I'd like to punch him in the face. I'll pay your legal bills if you do something. Get him out of here." Pointing at a black person we saw the protest, the people, how they at these rallies would treat not even just protesters, but just a black person that was there.
Yeah.
Sucker punch him in the back of the head when they're not looking. Beat somebody when they're down. We saw this. Trump encouraged this. Yeah, you're right. This is absolutely on Trump. There's no doubt about it. Now, a Republican in Portland is saying that they need to hire private militias. Gee, I wonder where they're going to get some of these private militias to protect Republicans. Because they're the ones that are really under threat after this incident.
Uh-huh.
So I think it's a city politician, it was a Republican, said, yeah, we're going to hire contract private militia groups to defend us after this white supremacist attack.
Oh, God, yeah.
I don't think they're going to do it. Ever the victim and the fucking... They can't even... This is the thing that drives me crazy about these white supremacists. Right? They're still the majority. It's still a white supremacist, patriarchal society. Like, they already are in charge. They don't want equality. To them, that's genocide. To have equality, to have to be equal with other people, you're already winning. Like, they can't even let someone else have underdog status because they can't have anything. We want it all. We want to be the big boss and the underdog at the same time.
Well, they want to go back to plantation, Southern style, slavery.
Neo-Confederates, yeah.
Those were good times. The good Christian people were in charge. Yeah. The black people did the work. And that's as God meant it to be.
They go by a lot of names. White nationalists, neo-Confederates, neo-reactionaries. They're all radicals. And it's extremism, and they're radicalizing people. This conversation about this guy in court... I highly doubt that the media, certainly not the current administration, or even the people arguing it in court, are going to make this an issue of radicalization. You know, if he was a Muslim, they'd say, oh, he was radicalized by going on forums and being on social media and reading ISIS propaganda. You know, ISIS takes credit because it benefits their narrative. Whenever somebody looked up some of their stuff on the internet and repeated some video things while they were doing their shooting... Right? Okay, they were radicalized. Say it. Say it for this guy. What's the difference? What's the fucking difference?
Because then they have to point to who radicalized them.
And there's a system of radicalization and a movement that exists and has a name. They're called the alt-right, and they're comprised of neo-Confederates and neo-Nazis.
And they're white supremacists. White House.
And they that is their team. That's what they helped vote for. And I know people don't want to hear that. If you're just a typical conservative, you don't hold those views. But when you went to that polling place and vote alongside people for Trump, that's who you were voting alongside. And all the warning signs were there at the time. I'm sorry, but you know what?
And one of his chief advisors is a self-admitted alt-right.
He made a platform for the alt-right, yeah. Steve Bannon, chief advisor. So this guy who did this was always racist. I don't think anyone's arguing that Trump made him racist, right? But this current political climate of divisiveness and extremism allows this to happen and for them to actually act on it.
Yeah.
On Wednesday, a noose was found hanging at an exhibit at the National Museum of African American History and Culture. It was specifically an exhibit about segregation.
This is the second such incident that museum.
No, it was the Smithsonian was the other one. Maybe there was another one at that museum?
At that museum, oh, wow. And it was the first news was outside the museum.
And now they've done it inside. And they're putting out these statements saying it's safe here, we have security. But, well, it's still an intimidation, it's a terrorist tactic. There was another one last Friday at the Smithsonian. A police officer discovered a noose hanging from a tree on the grounds of the Hirshhorn Museum. This is a concentrated attack. You know, they tracked down one of the people who was making the calls, the bomb threats to Jewish centers, but it didn't account for all of them. There's still people who did the other ones, right? And there's absolutely continually hate crimes happening in this country that are being recorded and reported and covered ignored. By many groups. Well, they're being ignored by a lot of people, yeah. But that's the place that we're at right now as a country, where they want to put people, if not in chains again, they at least, you know, symbolically speaking, want to do so. They want a caste system. Some of them just straight up want a white nation where they, that Richard Spencer prick, the neo-Nazi Richard Spencer, he says, I want a peaceful ethnic cleansing. That's also known as an oxymoron. You can't ethnically cleanse anyone peacefully. That's violent by nature. But he's saying, I just want to peacefully remove millions and millions of people who don't want to be removed. Oh, okay. Sure. That makes sense. He's just a Nazi. That's all it is. And that's who these people are. At their core, they, even if they're not pro-ethnic cleansing, these people that are surrounding Trump, these scumbags that he surrounded himself with, they don't view other people as equal to them based on skin color, sexual orientation, gender, religion, national origin. These are bad people. These are the real bad hombres. Steve Bannon, Chris Kobach, Flynn, Michael Flynn. Russia stuff aside, he referred to all of Islam as a cancer. Billions of people. Billions of peaceful adherents to Islam. But, you know, based on those few, it's a cancer.
No, it's really very strong crusader. It goes back to the Crusades.
That's the imagery they use.
They've never given up on that.
They put that in the banners of their Twitter profiles and their Facebook groups.
Which is one story you didn't mention. One good thing Trump has done.
Oh, okay.
In terms of the Middle East. Several past presidents every 6 months have extended a moratorium on calling for Israel to move their capital to
Jerusalem. Or supporting, supporting their...
Yeah, that to do movement, so. And they won't evidently do it without our support.
Mm.
And it must have been some legislative thing done in the past that requires an extension of a moratorium on something that would go into place if that wasn't done. And Trump had said, "Yeah, he supports moving the capital of Israel to Jerusalem." Now, to that would start a war immediately in the Middle East. And the King of Jordan took it upon himself to come to the United States uninvited, attend a prayer breakfast at the White House, and at that occasion got Donald Trump aside and said, if you do this, if you don't extend that moratorium, there will be no peace in the Middle East. And that's something that Trump and every other president has wanted to put their stamp on.
Right. And so far, only Jimmy Carter got anywhere close, right?
Right. So he did extend it to the consternation of Netanyahu, who was very disappointed for it. So that's one good thing, but kudos to the Jordanian king for doing that. Now, he's not a good guy in a lot of other instances.
Yeah. Well, his own interests in this are
is to prevent a major war in the Middle East.
And also it's ideological as well, right? I'm sure that's not something that's the whole question, right, of Jerusalem. It's the holy city for several religions, so that's... There's not really, nobody is doing this for any pure good reasons just to say, oh, we don't want a war. But, and even Donald Trump, I mean, okay, I'll acquiesce and say he's not doing the wrong thing here, but he's still just kicking the can down the road just like every other president. That's essentially you're saying. You can just kick the can down the road. Okay. As opposed to actually stand up and do something that would require real principle.
But
real bravery and strength.
All the kings in the Middle East are very precarious.
Yeah.
And they understand that you upset the balance. You put everybody at each other's throats.
Yeah.
Their kingdoms can topple.
Yeah.
So they have a vested interest in maybe not peace, but not active war.
Well, there's stability, and then there's the illusion of stability, and then there's also outright chaos, right? So in Syria, there's outright chaos. In certain countries, there's been the illusion of stability, like in Iraq and Afghanistan at times, right? So, but then there's also, there are more stable countries, certainly Israel, Iran, Saudi Arabia, Jordan. These are countries where they can at least argue, you know, we're not currently embroiled in a civil war, right?
Yeah,
so,
yeah, that's a good thing.
Yeah, but you're right. I mean, that's true anywhere. I think we're going to probably find out in this country, if things get a lot worse, how fragile these illusions are for us as well. We're not so different. I know there's specific geopolitical differences, but you know what I mean?
No. Yeah. I'm just saying that's not going to stop Trump, though.
No, that requires an understanding of nuance and to actual world affairs.
Supposedly, the military has said that they have tested an anti-missile missile specifically meant to guard us against North Korea. I always doubt their pronouncements of success in this area.
Well, North Korea as well.
North Korea as well, yes.
Well, but Trump is flexing his muscles on that, but also outwardly antagonizing North
Korea.
Yes,
right. They want such a system, and I think they'll finance such a system so that they can go to war. So, any good news today?
I have good news for you, Chuck.
Oh, thank you.
I'll give you two, actually, real quick. Just I didn't bring it, but the both California, man. They're gonna go support climate change regardless of Trump. They also in California are moving to create single payer healthcare system.
Yeah.
Awesome, great news. We could get more into that. We don't talk a lot about healthcare on the show, but here's one more that you like from the realm of the spies and eyes all around us. A bill to shine new light on law enforcement surveillance technology has passed out of the California State Senate. Now the battle begins in the California Assembly. SB 21 would require all police surveillance technology purchases and policies, that's a mouthful, these police purchases and policies in the realm of surveillance technology, they're coming to listen to us right now, they would have to go through a public approval process. That would put public accountability into these systems. This is great news. This means a city council or a board of supervisors could veto proposed technology or demand a change in policy. We're seeing it at a point where the police are getting more militarized, using militarized gear, but they're also using drones, stingrays, license plate readers, facial recognition, biometric databases. All these things might, under this bill, fall under these transparency rules for California. So this is a big deal. More than 800 Californians sent emails to their state senators. It paid off. The bill passed 21-15. So much so that the cops are mad right now about this.
You can hear this.
They're just circling around trying to find anyone who reports on this. And they're not being very subtle.
We're going to have to close this down soon.
Normally, surveillance, I think, is supposed to be very subtle, but they get angry and short-tempered. They're cops. But this battle is not over. It still has to go through the other assembly. So, hey, a lot of you already sent those emails and made phone calls, but these are your state representatives. They will listen to you even if, you know, the other ones won't. These are people who are even more reliant on their constituency. So call them up. Tell them how important this is to you, how this affects
you. And as California goes, so goes the nation.
That's right. And in the rest of all these other stories, call your congresspeople, your representatives, just because they're trying to squash dissent, and protest. We still have to resist. More important than ever now, because of that, we resist. Scientists are joining to resist. Women are resisting. Look at all the different marches that there have been. It is imperative that we continue to make our voices heard and oppose this presidency for the atrocity on human decency and rights and American values that it is. And we're talking about some true patriots this week. So that's what we're talking about. Until then, I mean, we're going to maybe have a different style time setting next week. We're going to probably do this on Sunday as opposed to Friday, but the show's been kind of going up erratically on the run anyways. So we'll just continue to bring you all these stories. You can always, with any comments or anything, reach The Stranger at thestranger@earthling.net.
And Chuck Weiss at Chuck Weiss, W-E-I-S-S, at mail.com, M-A-I-L, not Gmail.
Or always just all of our shows and all of the other great shows at mutinyradio.fm. This is our show is on Mutiny Radio, a wonderful place for DJs like you if you decide to become a DJ.
We may move to their new fortified location.
That's right. They've finally gotten the anti surveillance grid up, so that's good, and also the sort of the teleportation technology that phases through different that's nice too. I'm not going to give all the details away, but we'll be back next time, and until then, remember, it isn't tomorrow
unless you've slept.
Good night.
Good night.